I want you to take your Bibles and go with me to Acts chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. Verses 18 through 24. At the very beginning of chapter 12, what we looked at last week, we saw and we noticed that King Herod was in control. He murdered James, the brother of John, had him beheaded. He imprisoned Peter and was having the same mock trial scheduled for him and was probably going to behead him and put him to death. And we know what happened. An angel of the Lord came and delivered Peter from the jail and brought him to the people of God and brought him to where people were praying. And God did a great and mighty work. But Herod was not happy with what happened. And so we pick up the story in chapter 12, verse 18. So let's stand together as we honor God's word and as we read God's word, verses 18 through 24. Lessons from a tyrant. So after Peter was miraculously delivered from jail, in ancient times, if you were a jailer, you were a guard, and your prisoner escaped, whatever the sentence imposed upon the prisoner was, you would get as a guard. So it says, in the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. Then Herod, who is the king, King Herod, went from Judea to Caesarea and stayed there. He had been quarreling with the people of Tyre, right on the coast there, and Sidon. They now joined together and sought an audience with him. After securing the support of Blastus, a trusted personal servant of the king, they asked for peace because they depended on the king's country for their food supply. So they got in a quarrel with King Herod, these two cities, and they were afraid that Herod was going to bring judgment down upon them. And so they did whatever they had to do. They were willing to compromise, and you'll see how they compromise in just a moment, to feed their stomachs and to take care of themselves. Now, granted, when you're hungry, and we get it. We understand it, but not you don't feed your stomach at all costs. And yet Tyre and Sidon, these two cities, basically made a deal with the devil. And in verse 21 it says, "And on the appointed day, Herod, wearing his royal robes, sat on his throne and delivered a public address to the people. They shouted," meaning the people of Sidon and Tyre, "they shouted, 'This is the voice of a god, not of a man.' Immediately, because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down, and he was eaten by worms and died." What a lovely picture. The historian Josephus believes that this didn't happen immediately, that it took a few days, that he got a stomach bug, and the worms ate him from the inside out. But the word of God continued to spread and flourish. That's why I told you this morning, I wanted to just say, I'm not apologizing for the word of God, never will. But this is going to be a little different message. And you'll see as it unfolds. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. All of it is your word. And we can learn from all of it. And we certainly can learn lessons from a tyrant king. And I prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Well, what can we learn from a tyrant? Listen. We are surrounded by tyrants all over the world. We are surrounded by tyrants in government. Listen, you don't have to look very far governmentally to find tyrants. Just look at the cesspool called Washington, D.C. Yes, I said that. Yes, I said that. I love America, but our government is polluted and corrupted. All over the place. They're bought by money. How is it that average people can go into Congress and not have any kind of wealth, and they make, what, $200,000 a year, which is not pocket change. It's still good, decent money, but it's not wealthy money. And they leave as multimillionaires. How does that happen? There's some shenanigans going on, right? But among all of that, you find little tyrants everywhere, little Nancy Pelosi's who want to rule over people, little Joe Biden's who want to rule over people. You find that. You really do. Little Mitch McConnell's who want to rule over everybody, and they want to make laws. You know what I want? I want a law that's made to eliminate a bunch of the laws. When they say, well, you know what? The government may shut down. And I'm like, awesome! And you say, well, you don't work for the government. I'm sorry, but if you work for the government, listen, it's bloated. And if they're not working, it means they can't ruin our lives like they try to do. We've got tyrants everywhere. We've got tyrants in homeowners associations. Little tyrants who get a little bit of power and they become the president of the homeowners association, and then they monitor everything that you do. If you don't use the right kind of mower, or if you cut your grass too high or too low, or if you're working on your car in the driveway. Little petty tyrants are everywhere. It's deep within the heart of men to be tyrants. And then when those tyrants get some kind of power, a lot of times they wield it over people in an unhealthy way. It's not just the leaders of governments who are tyrants all over the place. But here we see a tyrant, and his name is Herod. Herod Agrippa, the king. He comes from a family of tyrants. They have power, and rather than caring for the people and doing the right thing by the people and giving people freedom to make their own way, they love to manipulate and manage and cast doom and sentence upon people. So what can we learn from these kinds of tyrants? Number one, tyrants think they have ultimate power over life and death. Tyrants think they have ultimate power over life and death. In verses 18 and 19, now you say, well, he didn't just think it, he did. Of course, yes, and he had these guards executed. But what they don't understand, what tyrants don't understand, is one day they are going to have to face death themselves. And unfortunately, or fortunately, a lot of these tyrants end up dying the way they killed other people, because somebody's going to get strong enough to possibly overtake them and destroy them in the same way. You see it happening throughout world history. Tyrants think they have ultimate power over life and death, but ultimately they don't. This guy did. What's going on in Israel today? People fueled by generations of absolute hate, looking at a fellow human being and thinking that it's okay to slaughter them just because. It's the spirit of tyranny that lies within them. The second thing we can learn from a tyrant is this, or from tyrants, is that people are willing to pay any price to satisfy their stomach. People are willing to pay any price to satisfy their stomach. Now, this is in relation to a tyrant, but the local governments, the people of Tyre and Sidon, these cities, they knew that Herod was an evil king. And they paid a price. So what price are you talking about? They wanted to negotiate, and they wanted to have food. What they did was they stroked his ego, and they actually claimed that Herod had the voice of a god. They lifted him up beyond something else. And the idea of the stomach is not so much about food, but people are willing to pay any price to satisfy their longings, to satisfy their deepest desires. They're willing to pay any price. That's why marriages fall apart sometimes, when you have one of the spouses who thinks that they can have a better situation with someone else because they have some deep need they think that needs to be satisfied, and so therefore that person can't satisfy them that they're married to, so therefore they have to destroy that covenant and go destroy another covenant, but perhaps in having an affair, as we call it. It's called adultery. And they go in and they ruin all kinds of families because they have this deep, insatiable appetite to satisfy something within them. You know what I ask young couples when they come and they want to get married and I take them through premarital counseling? You know what I ask them? And some of you have been through it, you probably remember this question. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, why him? And out of all the people on the face of the earth, why her? And I'll just be honest with you. You always find somebody physically more attractive than her. And you'll always find somebody physically more handsome than him. You can always find them. They're all over the internet. They're there. They got six packs. And we ain't talking about beer. They're all over TV. Everywhere you turn, the perfect person. Now you got something called AI, artificial intelligence. And it makes normal people look like they came out of a Glamour magazine shoot, which I've never looked at Glamour magazine, but it's a good, just for me, something good to say right now. Sounded good with the message. And I say, why him? Why her? Why are you settling for this person? Why? The point I'm trying to get at, there are two points, but one of the points is that listen, that person you're getting ready to marry will not always satisfy you. So marriage is not about immediate gratification and satisfaction. It's about committed love for a lifetime. It's about commitment to a person. It's a covenant that you make. Why that person? Because that person is uniquely made by God for you, and you are uniquely made by God for them, for that person. And so therefore, in regard to that, that's one of the reasons why you consider getting married. And you realize that in marriage, that your spouse is not the person designed to fix all your problems. Nobody can. Only God can do that. And so therefore, we see in the people here, their need was they wanted food, so they were willing to compromise and go to this tyrant and give him everything that he wanted just to make sure that the food supply was there. It's amazing how people will compromise their convictions to meet some need within their heart. Number three, lessons from a tyrant. People are always looking for a god of their own making. A god of their own making. It's called idolatry. It's deep within the heart of human beings to idolize something, to worship something. We all worship somebody or someone or something. Look, hear me out. I don't listen to pop culture music. I mean, I remember when Brad Pitt was all that in Hollywood, the biggest Hollywood star of all time. If he had walked in our church on a Sunday morning, I wouldn't have known who he was. I don't follow a lot of that stuff. But you know, I like to watch football. I don't idolize those players. They're human beings. I like the game. I like a lot of what it represents. So I watch high school football. I watch college football. I watch pro football, but there's something. You know, when I watch football, I got two gripes. I didn't come to see a million commercials, even though I understand you got to have some. And I came to watch, I'm there to watch the play on the field, not who's in the box watching the game. There you go, now you know. The last 2 weeks, every time you turn on a National Football League game, they're showing Taylor Swift. I'm like, put a helmet and shoulder pads on her then and let her go play. It's the National Football League of Swifters, Taylor Swift. I mean, and it, people have actually idolized her. She's a human being. She claims to be a Christian, but she doesn't advocate the Christian lifestyle that the Bible supports. I can go and hang myself up on my wall and say that I'm an 8-point buck all day. Look at me, I'm an 8-point buck. But they don't make me one. So people are always looking for a God of their own making. It's called idolatry. They said to him, they shouted, "This is the voice of a God, not of a man." Look at Romans 1, verses 21 through 25. Romans 1, 21 through 25. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." Kind of sounds like today, right? "And exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like a mortal human being and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen." That's the spirit of idolatry right there. When we think of the word idolatry, we think of some ancient thing where people are bowing down to a statue. But idolatry is deeper than that. Idolatry is about what's the most important thing to you. And I've said this before. Some people idolize their children. Some people idolize their spouse. So people are always looking for a God of their own making. It's called idolatry. And it creates the vacuum, it creates the opportunity for a tyrant to be born and to be fed. Number four, God will not share his glory with anyone. God will not share his glory with anyone. Immediately, because Herod in verse 23 did not give praise to God. In other words, he did not acknowledge God. When they were saying, "You're like a God," he had a chance to say, "No, I am not." Even though he was an evil king, he could have said, "No, wait a minute, now I'm just a man." But no, he loved it. He accepted all of that. Because Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him down and he was eaten by worms and died. God will not share his glory with anyone. Isaiah 42:8. Look what the Bible says here about that. "I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols." God doesn't share his glory with a church. He doesn't share his glory with a pastor. He doesn't share his glory with a worship team. He doesn't share his glory with a nation. He doesn't share his glory with a tyrant or with a president or with a leader of any nation or with a football player or with a celebrity. God doesn't share his glory. He alone is to be glorified. All we are is humans. We're but dust. B-U-T, not B-U-T-T. I can't believe I just said that. The Bible says in Genesis, look at Justin's like, "Oh my, how am I going to get this out of the live stream?" You're not. It says, "But we are dust." We are but dust. Now you get it? I think it makes the point. I mean, it says that, right? B-U-T. We are just dust. That's not as bad as something I said years ago in a sermon, and I'm not going there because I'm going to say it again. And no, Nope, never going to do it. I threw the sermon in the garbage can. I don't even go to that passage in the Bible about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's as far as I'm going. But God will not share His glory with anyone. We are human beings. He is the potter. We are the clay. And so many people forget that. While we see a glaring example of a tyrant, you know, all of us are many tyrants within our own lives sometimes. We want to control everything about our lives, everything about our homes, everything about everybody in our lives, just controlling, controlling, controlling. We're nothing different than this man here. And then when it's time to give God the glory, we're like, who is God? Who does God think He is? Basically, I don't seek God. I give directions to God. That's how some people act. Now, you say they would never admit that, but they act that way. And God will not share His glory with anyone. And there are times that God just takes people out. And this is one of them. Number five. Payday is coming someday at a time of God's choosing. Payday is coming someday at a time of God's choosing. The great pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church prior to Adrian Rogers pastoring a church is R.G. Lee. Many of you probably never heard of him, but those of us in ministry know who R.G. Lee was. And buildings are named after him and seminaries and things of that nature. R.G. Lee, pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. And go look it up. It's been years since I've heard it. I was going to try to listen to the sermon this week, and I had two issues. One was time, but I was going to make time. The other was I did not want the sermon I felt I had what I needed right here, so I didn't want the sermon to maybe distract me and me kind of go in that direction. But he titled the message, Payday Someday. Payday Someday. That's where I got this thought process, because I see it right here in this passage of Scripture. This man thought he had power over life and death. And yes, he executed some people, both Christians and non-Christians. Yes, he did. But one day, payday came to him. I'm not sure what's going on there, but payday someday. Payday is coming someday at a time of God's choosing. It doesn't matter who you are. You can be Joe Biden. You can be Donald Trump. It doesn't matter who you are. But one day, you have an appointment you must keep. It's appointed for all men to die. And for some, it will be a payday. You either allow Jesus to pay for your sins now, or you pay for your sins later. It's sort of like the candy called Now or Later. You know why they call that candy Now or Later? You remember that candy? Because if you start eating it now, you're still going to be chewing it later. Now or later, payday is coming someday at a time of God's choosing. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week or next month. But trust me, payday is coming for those who are evil and those who hate God. Their day is coming. They may be very powerful on the earth, and they may have great authority over a lot of people, but payday is coming. Adolf Hitler thought that he could escape the humiliation of being captured by the Soviets or by the Americans, and so therefore he bit on a cyanide pill and shot himself in the head. No, Hitler didn't survive the war. Okay? And he put a bullet in his head and he died on the spot. And he thought that he could allow himself to escape that. But what he didn't realize and what he didn't take into account was that the moment he pulled that trigger, to be absent from the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he faced God, and payday came to him on that day. Payday is coming someday, but it's a time of God's choosing. Somebody might be doing you wrong, but payday is coming. You might be a Christian, and your family may have been murdered for the cause of Christ, and they might have been martyred by some evil terrorist. But every terrorist is going to have to face payday. It's coming. 1 Peter 3:12 says this: "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Whew. Don't be afraid of the eyes of the Lord watching and seeing everything you do. Don't be afraid of that. Respect it. Be in awe of that. But be grateful, because as a Christian, the eyes of the Lord are open. He sees and his ears are open to you. But listen, the one who does evil, God is against them. Number six, the last thing I want you to see. Tyrants come and go. They come and go throughout world history. But the word of God and his people continue to flourish. Tyrants come and go, but the word of God and his people continue to flourish. Verse 24, but the word of God continued to spread and flourish in spite of it. So chapter 12 begins with Herod in charge persecuting the saints, and it ends with Herod dead and the church flourishing. God has the last word. God has the last word. Tyrants come and go, but the word of God and his people continue to flourish. They have throughout history, and they will continue. That's why it's incumbent upon you and me to be faithful to God. Learn the lessons of what tyranny can teach us. And one of those lessons is that we need to stay about the business of the Lord. Amen. About preaching his word, preaching the truth. We have tyrants out there who want you and I to force us to believe that men are women or women are men, or that there are a million genders. It's tyranny. It's cultural tyranny. But you just stay true to God's word, and God will take care of all of those things. The reason I got so upset toward the end of COVID was with the county commission, when they tried to enforce and they backtracked and actually lied on TV, backtracked saying that they never were saying that they wanted to keep churches from meeting, but that's exactly what they said in their meeting. And I went on Facebook and ranted for a while, and then TV 20 says, "Hey, we want to do a story on you." And I'm like, "I don't trust you people." "Well, we're going to do a story on you." "Well, I don't trust you people, and I don't trust you because I don't want you to misuse our people and to make our people look like we're idiots, and I just don't trust the media." He said, "Try us. Give us a chance. We're going to show both sides." And I believe they were fair in the story they did with us, and I thanked them for that. And I said, "If you guys continue with that way and doing news that way, doing it the fair way, you'll have my support locally." But I watched these county commissioners when COVID came, and I watched them in their meetings on a weekly basis, and they were relishing the opportunity to lord over people. Tyranny. Little tyrants. Tyrants come and go, but the word of God and his people will continue to flourish. The Alachua County Commission will one day cease to exist, but the word of God will always remain. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never fade away. God's people will continue to flourish. All around us in the world that we live in, we have the enemies of Christ and the enemies of the cross. They're in politics, they're in business, they're in the education system. They want to deprogram your children. Hillary Clinton just said this, listen to me, I'm not advocating one thing, but I'm saying this. She said that all people who support Donald Trump need to be deprogrammed. I'm just saying that. That's what she said. No, we have a right to believe what we want, even if it's offensive to you. Miss Tyrant. All around us, they want to silence us. And they want to tell us that we can't believe what we believe. They want to tell us that our eyes are telling us or not telling us the truth. And push this social cancer, this rottenness, and this cultural rot upon us. Transgenderism and all this other garbage to destroy the family and destroy the fabric of society. To put father against daughter and mother against son and school teacher against parents and on and on and on. That's what they're trying to do. But just keep this in mind. Tyrants come and they go. But the Word of God and His people will continue to flourish. We flourish best when there's some persecution on the outside. We flourish best when they challenge what we stand for and what we believe. Say, man, preacher, you sound like you're mad at all of them. No, I'm not mad at them. But I know that they are the enemies of the cross and that their goal is to do evil to us and to take our children from us and take them away from us and pour into them this garbage so that their lives are ruined and that they literally are sterilized by these medical procedures. They want them to become perpetually hooked on pharmaceuticals. It's evil. We have medical tyranny. We have governmental tyranny. We have educational tyranny. We have cultural tyranny all around us. But just know this. Maybe they won't die like Herod. But I think that their brains are full of worms. And their hearts are evil. And God wins in the end. You stay faithful to Jesus. You acknowledge God in your life. You and I continue to give Him glory and never back down on these issues and continue to stand for God. You and I lovingly, carefully, and caringly love on these people that have made bad, bad decisions in their lives, because if it were not for the grace of God intervening in your life when He did, you might be in that same situation. And so therefore, you love them and you help them and you pour out to them and you show them the truth and you engage with them and you do it the right way. But you never allow a tyrant to steal your joy, to take the truth out of your heart, or to keep you from living your life for Christ. Well, Pastor, if we do that, he'll starve us out. They might. So, at least you didn't bow the knee, right? And you stayed faithful to your God. How many of you seen the movie Braveheart? How many of you haven't seen the movie Braveheart? Okay, well, I'll say this. I'm not a big movie goer, and there's a lot of movies I don't see. I did see that one years ago. And so normally I would say I don't want to spoil the ending, but you've had 15 years to watch it, so I'm going to spoil the ending for you. When William Wallace, is on the stake, getting ready to die, and they're getting ready to stick him, he yells out, "Freedom!" And I think about that. William Tyndale, Christian, I think it was in the 1500s, you know, he was put to death by religious people, burnt at the stake because he wanted to translate the Bible into various languages. We may not yell out what William Wallace yelled out, freedom, but maybe we yell out, glory to God in the highest. Jesus lives. Maybe if we're in William Wallace's situation, we yell out, he lives, Jesus lives. And what William Wallace was saying, you can take my body, you can kill me, but you'll never steal the freedom of thought, the freedom to worship, the freedom of who I am within me. And in the same way, our culture can rot all around us, and they can, through tyrannical means, they can try to stifle you and me, but they really can't. They can't keep you from praying. They can't keep you from seeking God. They can't keep you from speaking about Jesus. They can't keep you from living your life that way. They could kill you. But okay, then you go into eternity with Jesus. Not really a bad deal. You go from living in that podunk house of yours made by human hands to living in a mansion made by God. Okay? You go from walking on dusty dirt driveways, or heck, maybe you got it even better. Maybe you got a nice paved driveway. It's asphalt. You go from that to walking on the streets of gold. Well, you know, I want to do more fishing. Well, I don't know, man. You'll be able to be by the crystal sea. Well, I like to hunt. There'll be no hunting in heaven because the lion and the lamb will lay down together. You won't need to kill or shed blood to eat. You won't need the sun. Jesus will be our light. So, church, yeah, what's happening in our world is awful. What's happening in Israel today is terrible. What's happened throughout history is horrible in a lot of ways. But the church of Jesus has stood strong, and the church has overcome every petty little tyrant that's come along, even though that tyrant may have slaughtered a bunch of them. The blood of the martyrs is a seed of the church. It's not my quote. I don't remember who said it, but it's a quote. Don't be afraid. Give God the glory. Live for Him. Learn, not only from men like Peter and these great saints of old, but learn from an ungodly, evil tyrant. You can learn some things. And today, we did. Let's stand together and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God that teaches us all things that pertain to life. We have what we need in Jesus. We have all that we need in Him. And Your Word says that we are complete in Jesus Christ. So thank You for that. And we know that every dog, every tyrant has his day, and payday will come someday. I know that if King Herod could come out of the flames, he would say, don't come down here. Give God the glory. Receive Jesus as your Savior. That would be the only thing he would say. But we know, just like he had the prophets and the testimony of the Scriptures, we have the same thing. May we heed those things. if God has spoken to your heart about anything, about giving your life to Him, you don't want to end up like Herod. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. That's what the Bible says. But that's why He sent Jesus to die for you and me, so you could have life, so I could have life in Him. He's not willing that you perish for all of eternity, but you have to turn to Him, be willing to turn from your way, to repent, to put your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus. Call upon Him, and He will answer. That's why we serve Him, because He saved us. In church, maybe God's spoken to you if you're a Christian in a different way in this message. However He has, and you want to come and pray, you want to seek Him, this altar will be open for you. Let God have His way. Father, we pray it in Jesus' name. As our worship team leads us, let's worship, let's commit, let's serve Him.